We live here.
We live here.
We live here.
A project exploring
race,
class,
power,
poverty,
systems, and the people they touch.
I'm Tim Lloyd.
And I'm Camille Stanley. And from St. Louis Public Radio, this is We Live Here.
All right, so I'm sitting here on the second floor of the old courthouse in downtown St. Louis. It's a big, beautiful building with lots and lots of history. If you haven't come here before, you definitely should. And sitting next to me is the new co-host for We Live Here, Camille Stanley.
Hey, how are you?
I am good. We should let people know about who you are.
We should. Okay. So I just got into town a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Came from Florida, where I was a newspaper reporter for the last several years. So I'm new to St. Louis, new to town. New to radio, new to the show.
Yeah. I'm a big public radio fan, obviously, but why did you make the switch from print to public radio?
So I'm a bit of a podcast junkie.
I feel ya.
Okay. But I also felt a tug to St. Louis. Mm-hmm. This felt like an important moment, not only in our shared history, but in my history.
Yeah, I think you're going to get this question a lot, and you probably have already. What is it like, or what was it like, watching Ferguson from afar?
You know, it felt like here we go again. I was in Florida during Trayvon Martin. I learned about other things in history that happened. So it felt very familiar, but it felt very significant.
And we were talking earlier that it was really, really important to you to introduce yourself to everyone who listens to the show from here, from the old courthouse in downtown St. Louis.
It was. I mean, I've actually been here like three or four times at this point.
Three or four times, yeah.
Three or four times, yeah. When I first got into town, this was one of the first places I came. My little brother wanted to see the arch. I wanted to come down here. And we saw the Dred Scott Memorial, and that was important to us. Growing up, civil rights and African-American history was a significant part of our life. I'm black, by the way. Mm-hmm. So we learned about these types of things. So it was cool being in a building that that has so much historical significance. But, you know, I mean, we also need to come here for another reason, right? So just a couple days ago, the Ferguson Commission put out its report, and race and racial justice are on the minds of a lot of people.
Yeah, and here's what Ferguson Commission co-chair Starsky Wilson had to say when he was asked, well, how do you even begin to describe what racial justice might be?
That it would look like some of the tables that we've seen come together around some of these critical issues over the course of the last 10 months. With folks who are activists, folks who live in the city, folks who live in the county, having serious conversations and getting to know one another over a continuum of discussions about really serious issues with an outcome and a product in mind, that we build relationship as we do work together. So I think it looks like that kind of collaborative participation. I think there are indicators, though, that are also spoken to in the printed report on the online report. And that is lower gaps in life expectancy based on what neighborhood we live in, where we find that in one case that's an 18-year life expectancy gap, and in another case it's 40 years. So I think there are some indicators of that equity that we can measure, like life expectancy and health outcomes, in as much as there are glimpses that we've gotten throughout this process of these diverse tables and great conversations, even though trying at times, about real work that we can do together.
We'll dive deeper into the question of what racial justice might look like in St. Louis right after this break. Before the break, we heard from Starsky Wilson, the co-chair of the Ferguson Commission, talk about what he thinks racial justice might actually look like. And Camille, you and I were recently somewhere where people were having the same conversation.
Yeah, actually, I think it was my second day on the job. Uh-huh. And Tim, you were moderating a forum at the St. Louis Central Library.
Yeah, and it turned into this big community discussion about how hard it is to untangle issues of race, let alone just define what racial justice is in the post-Ferguson America.
That was your first question to the panelists, mm-hmm. actually. What is racial justice?
Yeah, and here's what Terrell Carter, a former police officer, now he's a minister, author, and college professor, had to say.
I don't have an exact answer for it. I mean, I think that it encompasses aspects of people being treated fairly, people being treated justly, regardless of race. And I would also add a caveat. I would add regardless of gender or sexuality, any of those kinds of things. My twin brother is a very successful person in his own right. He has moved away from St. Louis, and one of the first things he told me when he moved away from St. Louis was that I needed to leave as well because St. Louis did not hold many opportunities for me because I'm an African-American man. And sometimes it's hard for me to argue with him for saying that because my experience has been that when I go in for a job interview, I'm usually one of the final one of the three finalists. And I'm probably usually one of the only other black, I'm one of the, a handful of black people that are actually in the building as well. And I usually don't get the job. And I always try to ask the question afterwards, okay, would you mind having a conversation with me later so you can tell me what I did wrong, how can I improve my interview skills, those kinds of things. And inevitably, whenever that happens, I get some kind of like half-baked response. Like I've been told, oh, you're perfect, you're wonderful. You have great qualifications, great education, all these things, but we want to give you an entry-level position. And the people that get the jobs are not as qualified as me. But a second thing, which I shared with you just a few moments ago, whenever I meet someone who has moved to St. Louis from another area that's black, I always ask them the question, what is the difference in St. Louis and where you have come from? And at least 90 to 95% of the time, their response is that the African-American community in St. Louis knows their place, that we have been conditioned to understand that we will only go so far and that we will not try to go further than that. Again, 90 to 95% of the time, that is what I'm told when I ask someone that kind of question. So it obviously causes me to think, causes me to wonder what's going on.
All right, so I got to push pause here just for a second. You know, Camille, you're a young African-American woman, new to town, came to St. Louis to take a job. It's day two of that job. I mean, when you heard Terrell say that, what went through your mind?
Whoa.
Yeah.
And also that this is going to be really intense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I moved here because I do feel like there's opportunity here. But I've also only been here a couple weeks, and I don't know the black people here enough to say whether or not that's really true.
But even just like personally, though, you know, I mean, I get like professionally what would draw you here, especially in our line of work. And you're here to do reporting on heavy, heavy topics. But just like personally, was there a moment when you heard that and thought to yourself, Camille as a person, maybe this is going to be like a really, maybe not the best fit?
I really didn't. I mean, it's always painful to hear that people feel like there's a ceiling, but I also feel like that's a very common part of the black experience in America. We are used to limits in our lives. And I mean, look, I grew up in the Midwest. I spent the last several years living in the South. I knew what I was walking into when I got here.
Mm-hmm. I feel like one thing that has changed, certainly in St. Louis after Ferguson, is that white people are hearing this a lot more. And it reminds me of something a pastor told me last year, that Midwestern cities are like dysfunctional families. We've got these big issues. The problem is we don't ever talk about those issues.
I think that's probably right, because I've talked about these issues all the time since I was a little girl. I think a lot of black people and people of color talk about these issues all the time because they're right in our face. So what you said earlier about, I think what's happening is the extended family, so to speak, is now talking about these things.
I want to go back to Terrell Carter. He's the former police officer, now a minister, author, and college professor. I want to hear him talk a little bit about how race has impacted him personally in his own career, and in particular about looking for a very specific job.
So I have multiple degrees. Undergraduate degree, graduate degree, two doctorates. Have multiple years of experience in the construction industry, and the position I was applying for was a construction position with an unnamed art organization. And I made it down to the final three candidates. And at some point, again, in my lifetime, I worked as a St. Louis City police officer for 5 years. I worked in the most dangerous district in the city of St. Louis for 3 years. I worked night watch. And for 3 years, I led all of night watch and radio calls. So when someone calls 911, police officers dispatched, I was that police officer that went to houses the most. I got into the most fights, the most resistings. There was one summer where every 4 days, I experienced someone dying, someone being killed. So you learn to live with that and you move on. But the point is that I go to this interview for a construction position with an arts organization, and a white male who participated in that interview told me that I was not going to get the job because he didn't think that I was as nice as I was trying to portray myself. And I said, I was like, wow, you know, if I was angry, I would be the angry black guy in the interview. But this guy was not a police, he was the head of security on top of everything else. He was the head of security, and he said, I don't think that you can handle the pressure of a curator when they get mad coming to you and yelling at you. And I was like, sir, did you not look at my resume? I was a St. Louis City police officer for 5 years. I think I can manage somebody who had a bad morning.
Right.
But I walked away from that wondering why he felt comfortable enough to say that to me in a job interview. But that's not the only time, unfortunately, that something like that has happened to me in a job interview in St. Louis. So
Camille, you're taking notes during the forum. You've covered tons and tons of forums on race relations in Tampa Bay. So
yeah.
Reporter to reporter, the question is, like, what's the lead at this point?
Clearly, I mean that despite the past year, despite all the work that's been done, there's still so much pent-up frustration here.
Mm.
And I mean, there was a young woman at the forum who spoke. I think her name was Dee Nichols,
yeah.
An artist. So she was talking about this notion of moving on past Ferguson. And what she said really, really stuck with me.
It's hard to say that we're post-trauma or that we're post-racial or that we're post-Ferguson when we're still feeling it.
Right.
And part of that for myself is a long history, even in my young life, with constantly dealing with these types of issues. I grew up in Cleveland, Mississippi, a town that was segregated by a railroad track until 2009. And even as a kid in my life, I saw white people burn down the homes of black people who moved to their side of the town. And so when I came to St. Louis, I was very fascinated by this, and like fascinatingly disgusted by the sense of division in the city, things like the Delta Divide.
That point about the divisions that still exist, that really resonated with me.
And we've talked a lot on this show about those divisions. They mean black, white, rich, and poor people hardly ever live next to each other here in St. Louis.
Right. And so we asked the people at the forum to fill out these cards. It had a question on it.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to describe race relations in St. Louis, I'd say.
And some of the responses were really short and just got to the point. Here's one. We have a lot of work to do.
Here's what another one said. It's about structure and white supremacy, not about listening.
Others gave longer responses like this one. Quote, we all love St. Louis. It seems too black and white. But we should remember that many others are scared to share their opinions on race due to how the other person may overreact or ask questions to deepen their understanding of the issue. We need to be open to each other and invite others to engage in the conversation.
One guy told us it was this classic Grandmaster Flash song,
mm-hmm.
The Message, that pretty much sums up his thoughts on race relations.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
So, Camille, at the forum, you also filled out a card asking about race relations in St. Louis.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you're new to the show, but anyway, I can talk you into reading what you wrote.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
If I were to describe race relations in St. Louis, I'd say it feels heartbreakingly normal. The issues this region grapples with are the same ones people all over this country have struggled with for decades. But I'd also say St. Louis, unlike many places, is taking steps to talk about and change its race relations. And that feels bold. That feels promising.
You know, listening to you read what you have on that card, I can't help but think about where we started this show, at the old courthouse in downtown St. Louis, talking about this country's long struggle with race.
Yeah, I mean, we all know where we've been and where we're at right now, but I really think the opportunity to come and investigate these issues and dig into this is really why I came. It's why I'm here. And I mean, whether things actually change or not, I guess we'll just have to see as things inch along.
And back to that report from the Ferguson Commission, in many ways, it's just an attempt at making a blueprint for how St. Louis can build a more equitable future across racial lines.
Yeah, so with that in mind, let's close the show by hearing from the other co-chair of the Ferguson Commission, Rich McClure.
Here's how he says St. Louis can start becoming more racially just.
I would say it's very important for our region to focus on some very fundamental underlying issues here. Starsky and I actually started our work together working on education equity. And that's where we began to understand together how each other thinks and how our region needs to address issues of clear challenges in our education system where educational outcomes are different for folks based on the zip code and the school district and where that they attend. So we as a region have to address these core underlying issues in order to achieve racial justice.
So, Camille.
Yeah?
What do you say we start our reporting together in the same place Rich McClure and Starsky Wilson, the co-chairs of the Ferguson Commission, began their conversation with a series of stories on equity in education?
Sounds like a deal.
Cool.
So we're going to be digging into things like racial disparities, achievement gap, school suspension data.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Right. But shouldn't we start with the money? I mean, where do schools here get it?
Well, in Missouri, that means the foundation formula. And next time on We Live Here, decoding the foundation formula. But for now, you made it to the end of your first show. It's
Yay!
In the can. We're done. Okay, cool. Now it's time to roll credits.
Credits.
Yeah,
wait,
credits,
I'm from the print world.
Okay.
Is that like a byline?
It's kind of like a byline.
Okay. Well, here we go. We Live Here is produced by me, Camille Stanley.
And me, Tim Lloyd. Shula Newman is our editor, and Margie Freivogel is the editor of St. Louis Public Radio.
Our theme music was composed by Casey Morgan.
And from St. Louis Public Radio, this is We Live Here.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
From PRX.